Amen.
Did y'all like my piano accompaniment? I did an awesome job, didn't I? That was Lewis. Was that not wonderful? That was Lewis playing over here, actually. So he recorded that, and then they sang to it. So that was fantastic. Lewis and Margaret, thank you guys so much. How many of you know that song? Some of you know it. Some of you have heard that before. You know, I think I've heard every hymn there ever was. I've never heard that song before. So thank you for sharing that with us in a beautiful song this morning. I know everybody enjoyed getting to see that. I'm going to ask if you would join me for a word of prayer this morning as we get started and look at our message today that God has laid before us. And let's just ask Him to prepare our hearts for what He wants to say to us, down deep in our heart, as we just heard, right? And what He wants to plant inside of us. So join us for a word of prayer this morning before we dig into Scripture. Father, we thank You. God, as Trey said as we began this morning, just we thank You for this opportunity to be in this place. God, we don't take that lightly. We praise You just that You've enabled us to be able to gather here and to worship on this campus. And we thank You for Your provision, Father, for those of our church family, our sweet, sweet church family that aren't able to be here with us, that are worshiping at home with us. We thank You, Father, that they're able to worship with us and be a part of us this morning through this live stream equipment. We lift that to You too. And we thank You for that opportunity and pray that You would bless that to Your glory. And God, even right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before You, before we even open Your word together and begin to read it, God, would You just do a work in us? God, there's so many things right now that are pressing in on our lives that can be distractions, that can, God, keep us from hearing You and keep us from focusing on You. And God, just for the next little bit, God, help us to move those things out of the way. And God, just to hear from You. God, what You want to say to us, what You want to show us, what You want to do in us. God, let us hear You drawing us to Yourself this morning. Even now, Lord, we pray that You would do a work in us. Prepare our hearts. Make our hearts open, receptive to Your truth. And we invite Your Holy Spirit this morning to just fall on this place, on each heart, on each life. God, You move on us. God, Your word says about itself, God, that when it goes out, it does not return empty. It does not return void. But God, it will accomplish the purposes for which You sent it. And we claim that this morning. We stand on that promise this morning. And God, we look for that to happen wherever Your word goes out. And not just here this morning, but all over this country and world as people are proclaiming Your truth. May Your word go out. May it heal and comfort and nourish. God, may it save, change hearts and lives. God, may it bring revival and renewal. And God, this morning, Your name be exalted and praised and lifted up and adored in all that we do. We love You. We thank You for this time. We ask You to speak to us this morning through Your word, Father. God, let us hear You, and we'll give You the praise and the glory for what You do. It's in Your name I ask these things. Amen. All right. If you have your copy of the Scripture with you this morning, if you would be finding the first book of the New Testament, go to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in the sixth chapter this morning, Matthew chapter 6, as we are continuing in a series of messages that we are just calling Great Prayers of the Bible. Now, just kind of a reminder of what we've kind of been doing each week. We've been 1 week looking at one of the great prayers that you find in Scripture. The last two that we've looked at have been from the Old Testament. We looked at the prayer of Jumpin' Jehoshaphat 1 week, and last week we looked at the prayer of Hannah. And then in between those times, we've been kind of jumping over into the New Testament and looking at some practical principles concerning prayer that kind of apply to some of those things. And as we've kind of been saying, never more
has there been a more appropriate time, a more timely time, right, than this time that we're in right now for just a season of prayer for us as believers? I think that if there's anything right now that we can be doing as a church and as Christians, it is we can be praying into the circumstances and the times that we're encountering in our world and our culture today. So that's why we've kind of been focusing on this series of prayers. And I've been saying this every week, but I believe this. Sometimes we use prayer as a last resort, and it really ought to be our first resort. It ought not to be ever just kind of a bythought or something we do as kind of a last ditch effort, but prayer ought to be our first go-to. It ought to be the first thing that we plug into. And so we've kind of been looking at that every week during this time. I think right now all of us can kind of get our heads around this. I hope that you recognize in this series of messages just the deep call to prayer. That for us as Christians, we ought to be centered on prayer right now, especially given the things that are going on. I read a great statement this week from Greg Laurie. I don't know if y'all listen to Greg Laurie at all. He's out of California, Harvest Ministries, and he always has a timely word when he preaches truth. And I read this statement from him this week, and it really kind of hit me about where we are and kind of what we're focusing right now in these series on prayers. Greg Laurie said this. He said, during this COVID-19 pandemic season, one of the greatest strengths that we have as Christians is to pray. And I like that. In troubling circumstances, some may sneer at prayer. When tragedy hits, some contend that prayer is a useless response when we could be taking action. In actuality, prayer is a powerful thing. Sure, we may take other actions and do what we can, but through prayer, we call on our all-powerful God. And so I think kind of he's resonating what we're feeling in these days, right? That there's never been a greater time than right now for us to be giving ourselves to prayer, focused prayer, for us to really lean into our prayer lives, for us to learn and understand how our prayers need to be much, much deeper than they've ever been. I've been quoting, I'm going to share a couple of quotes here with you from Ian Bounds. One of the classic writers on prayer. He has some tremendous works. As a matter of fact, a volume I have of his on prayer in my office is about that thick. And so it's just rich with just truth about prayer. And here's what he kind of says to us as a reminder about prayer and how powerful prayer can be. This is a bold claim. He says this, prayer is the greatest of all forces, because it honors God and it brings him into active aid. Do you feel right now like you need active aid in the circumstances? Well, Ian Bounds says, prayer is what brings that. And then he says this, there can be no substitute nor rival for prayer. It stands alone as the great spiritual force. And that's true, right? I mean, we need to recognize that prayer isn't a last resort. It's not like kind of the last tool that we have in our chest to kind of apply to our day. It's the most important one we have. It's one that we ought to be leaning into. And then there's this statement. I don't know how many of you are Avengers fans. Who all likes Marvel Comics? I love the Avengers movies. All those things are so powerful. The great Stan Lee, who writes all things Marvel Comics, right? And he's the one who kind of wrote a lot of those kind of Marvel comic things. He's the guy who creates all these superheroes that have inexhaustible powers, right? Like the Hulk and like Thor and all those guys. I have a face mask that our sweet little Lorelai made me, and it's got lightning bolts. I call it my Thor face mask. So my kids laugh at me because every time I put that mask on, I do this. Now, if you don't know what that is, you're not a Marvel fan, right? But I love that. So here's what Stan Lee said, and I like this. When I read statements like this from who we may consider more of those folks out in the secular world, I think this causes me to take attention. But Stan Lee said this, simple quote, but he said this, the power of prayer is still the greatest ever known in this endless, eternal universe. Isn't that something? And that from one who writes fictional characters that are all powerful, right? And he says prayer is still the greatest force that we have. And it really is. I hope in this season of prayer, where we're looking at this series on the greatest person, you as a Christian are just kind of feeling in your spirit just this renewal, this call for us to be a people, a church, who are given to prayer. Because I'm telling you, there is power in prayer. And maybe like never before, as I've been saying, this is a season to call us back into a deep heart of prayer. You know, I just think that for you and I as believers, we need to understand that prayer is one of the greatest tools that we have that we can pour into this time. And God answers prayer. He always answers prayer. He provides for our prayers. Okay, one more Ian Bounds quote, and then we're going to kind of move on. But here's another great one that he said, and this one really stuck with me. And I want you to think about this because this is so important. He says this, "Few Christians have anything but a vague idea of the power of prayer. Fewer still have any experience of that power. The church seems almost wholly unaware of the power God puts into her hand, the spiritual carte blanche of the infinite resources of God's wisdom and power is rarely, if ever, used, never used, to the full measure of honoring God. It is astounding how poor the use, how little the benefits. Prayer is our most formidable weapon, but the one in which we are the least skilled and most averse to its use." Boy, when I read that, I went, God help us, right? I mean, if ever there was a time for us to realize the power that is at our disposal through this powerful tool of prayer. And I'm telling you now, listen to what I'm going to say here. I believe that the world needs praying Christians and praying churches right now. Your neighbors, your friends, those out in our culture who don't even recognize the need are counting on your prayers right now. And you want to go, listen, there's a lot of things we can do. Like Greg Laurie said, we can put some things into action to try to deal with many of the things that are confronting us in this day. But listen, if we're sitting here in this place today or you're listening to this live stream, you need to understand that the most important thing you can do is what? Pray. Pray. It's a powerful, powerful tool that taps into the hand of God. I've been thinking about this, and I want to just kind of take a sidestep here just for a second. I want you to bear with me on this, because I've been thinking about this. One of the things that happens to us a lot of times is we get overwhelmed as Christians. I mean, if you look at what's going on in our world right now, we go, you know what, brother buddy, the truth is, I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know how to pray for COVID-19 and this big pandemic that's sweeping the world. I don't know how to pray for that. I don't know how to pray for the unrest that I see. It seems like our culture's bouncing out of the control. I don't know how to pray for that. How do I do it? Well, I'm glad you asked, right? And thinking about this, I want to just give you about 7 ways right now, because this is what I want us to do. I want us to put God to the test here, right? I want us to test out the power of prayer here for a second. And I want us to do this. I want us to pray specifically this morning for this pandemic. I think there's been a lot of talk about it. There's been a lot of ideas about it. There's been preaching about it, right? There's been all kinds of things put out on social media and on news media about all of this stuff. But listen, I'm telling you, listen, the church needs to be praying about it. And the person who can handle this pandemic more than anyone else is, guess who? Him, right? And we need to be praying. I'm going to give you about 7 ways here that you can be praying right now as a Christian, praying in power, okay, for this pandemic. And I want you to understand something, and I just want you to get your head in this and think about this just a little bit, because I think this is important. Listen, folks, those of us who consider ourselves Christians need to recognize that the true enemy in this pandemic is not the president, or it's not some political party. It's not mayors or governors or World Health Organization or the CDC or any of those other kind of things that maybe the news media wants to elicit the blame to. The real problem here with this is COVID-19, right? And the enemy. The enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, who's destroying lives and families and dividing people. And so, listen, I'm telling you that, listen, COVID-19 is a real thing. People are getting sick. We know that, right? We acknowledge that. We understand that. We need to be praying for that, right? But there's a whole spiritual warfare going on in the midst of that. So how can we be praying for that? Let me give you these 7 things really quickly. Let's see if we can work through some of these. Number one, as you're praying for this, lament in prayer. That's a good word for prayer that we have lost in our day. We need to lament for prayer. Let me ask you something. In your prayer closet, in your time with God, have you wept over what's going on in our world? Have you wept over this pandemic? Have you wept over what you've seen it doing to your church and to churches? Have you wept over that? I mean, have you lamented this time? And I'm telling you, listen, God hears the laments of his people. Think about that. He says in his word, he will hear the cry of the oppressed, and he hears us. And when we talk about fervency in prayer, listen, we need to lament in prayer. So the first thing you need to know, if I'm going to pray for this pandemic, I need to lament in prayer. I need to be brokenhearted over this. It needs to touch me at the deepest core of my being, and I need to lament for him. Here's the second one. Ready? Confess on behalf of our society. Confess our sins, right? Folks, we live in a fallen world. This world is under the hand of that fallen kind of sensation where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And bad things happen in this world, including diseases and sicknesses and all kinds of things. And we need to repent of that. We need to confess and repent on behalf of our society, not only for our sins, but for the ways that we have failed to follow God with all of our hearts, especially even in these times, and for the sake of our country and our community. We need to confess on behalf of our God, we've strayed away from you. Draw us back to you. That's a way we can pray in this time. Then here's the third thing. We need to pray for unity. Pray for unity. As I said a minute ago, COVID's a very real thing. And our real enemies are this pandemic and the enemy who wants to use it to steal, kill, and destroy and divide, right? We need to pray for unity. We need to pray for churches to unite, putting aside differences and political denominational differences, networking together for mutual prayer and assistance. Pray for unity in this time, for us to come together. Number four, pray that God intervenes. Can we get specific here? God is powerful. We said that prayer is one of the most powerful prayers that we have. Listen, pray for God to wipe out the pandemic. Don't be afraid to pray that. Ask him to take care of it. God, heal this sickness. Ask him to wipe it out. Also, pray for a vaccine to be found. Pray that that would happen. Pray specifically for that. Pray against the spread of this disease to other people. Pray against that. Pray that believing that this kind of unified corporate prayer that matters before him, that God will, by faith, God will begin to bring healing in this time. Pray that specifically in this time. Number five, and this is an important one to me, maybe the longest one I wrote. Pray against the promulgation of misinformation about this pandemic via media outlets. Pray against the kind of stuff that's out there that is hurting other people, the misinformation, the lies, because I'm telling you, listen, the enemy uses that to cause fear and panic rather than a focus on him. So pray against that happening. Pray that the truth will win out, that the truth will be held forth, and that there will be healing, not just physical healing, but mental, emotional, spiritual healing from all the lies that have been propagated, and pray that those would be wiped out. Here's number six. You ready? Pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders in this nation. And pray as it's written in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Just listen to this. This is the prayer. It says this, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We ought to be praying for our leaders. You may not always agree with them. You may not even like them, right? But what does Scripture command us to do as believers? Pray for them. Pray that they would have wisdom from God, that despite themselves, God would direct their path. And I want you to see this. Notice in that great promise, and those are Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice the potential outcome of that kind of a prayer. Did you notice it? We need to be praying that because the outcome is peace from turmoil. Wow. We ought to be praying for that. And here's the seventh thing to pray for. Pray for revival in our churches. Pray for that. Pray that through this time, God might bring revival. Okay, so there it is. That's just an example, right? I'm telling you, listen, as Christians, and one of the reasons we've been looking at this series on prayer is for us to get really specific and practical about how right now, as Christians, we have this most powerful tool in our tool chest, and what should we be doing with it? Keeping it in the tool belt? Using it. And you have at your disposal the answer, right, to what's ailing the world. We ought to be praying. We ought to be praying in this time. And I love the idea that if you and I just get specific, I wanted to give you those seven things this morning just so that you begin to think about, oh, Christian, it is absolutely essential in our time that Christians be praying right now. And if I could, listen, that's something that you and I can do. We can pray. You may say, well, there's not a lot of ways that I can affect what's happening in our world today. Well, you can do this. You can pray. And the good news is this, and this is what we're going to talk about today. Listen, Christian, you need to understand that when you pray as a believer, you have a direct line to God. You have a direct line to His ear anytime, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, right? You have a direct line. He hears us. That's the promise of His Word. You have a hotline to God. And that's what I've titled today's message as we kind of think about prayer today. I want to talk about this hotline to God. Now, if there's anybody in all of Scripture that I want to say, what kind of prayer advice could you give us? I would want to hear from Jesus, wouldn't you? If there's anybody in Scripture that I want to say, I want to hear what they have to say about prayer. If they're speaking into my life about how to pray and how I ought to be given to prayer, I'd want to hear what Jesus said. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 5 through 15. And this is Jesus speaking about prayer. If you have a red letter edition of Scripture, this is in red because this is Jesus actually telling us about prayer. And listen, when Jesus speaks, listen, our ears ought to perk up. We ought to sit up and go, what does He say into my life concerning prayer? You'll recognize in this passage of Scripture what may be the greatest prayer ever in Scripture, all right? One that you probably have memorized. We'll get to that part. We're going to say it together, but let's look at it. If you have your Bible there, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, here is Jesus on prayer. Here we go. He says this, and when you pray, that's interesting. Let me just stop, y'all. He's not getting very far, is he? You ready? Let me just stop there. He didn't say, if you pray. He didn't make it optional here. He assumes you're going to, right? And when you pray, Christian, here's it. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And here's what I want us to recite together, because you recognize this as what we call the Lord's Prayer. I call it the model prayer. Let's say this part together, because we know what it says. You ready? It's on the screen. So we all are reading the same Lord's Prayer here together. But here we go. Here's what it says. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then look at verses 14 and 15 there in your Bible as he kind of closes out this chapter, Jesus' instructions on prayer. He says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Powerful word on prayer. And can I just tell you, listen, as you look at that, kind of highlight it there in your Bible, I don't know if you noticed it, but as we recited the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer together this morning, that's a prayer we can be praying right now, isn't it? It's something we can be uttering to God. There's so much truth in that. I think you'll like this story. I really liked it. Thought it was pretty cool. And we've got some friends visiting with us today from Oklahoma. And Kelsey's parents are here with us from Hawaii. So please don't take offense at this story, either of you. Okay, we're so glad that you're here, but we're really glad you're in Texas right now. So welcome. So that'll give you a little hint of where we're going with the story. But here's how the story goes. A man was searching for true religion and relationship with God. So he tried churches all across the United States. He traveled to Hawaii, and he traveled to New York, then back to California, then down to Florida, up to Montana, and even to Oklahoma. All right. And each church that he visited in those states had a phone line that they said was a direct line to call, but you only get one call, and it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for one call. The man was quite frustrated by this, but he finally arrived in Texas, where the phone line to God cost only pennies. He was puzzled by this, so he asked an old wise Texan standing nearby about the difference. Why is it so much cheaper here? He said, "My boy, you're in Texas, and in Texas, it's a local call." I like that, don't you? I'm like, we might say you're in heaven now. Welcome. I don't know. I've been to Hawaii, and Hawaii is about as close to heaven as you can get, I'll just say. But anyway, everything's more expensive in Hawaii, right? I mean, that's the truth, so that's good. All right, think about that. Aren't you glad that you and I have a direct line to God anytime we need to call him? I love Jeremiah 33:3, where God says this. It's an invitation to you and I, and it speaks that, listen, it's not expensive to call heaven, right? It's a local call. It doesn't even cost you pennies. It's a free call. It's a direct line to him. And so God says this in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, "Call to me, anytime, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I love that promise. Listen, you ought to have that written down somewhere, Jeremiah 33:3, where he invites us to call to him anytime we want to. Call to him, and he will answer, and he'll show us great and mighty things we can't even imagine. So I'm just telling you, that's why we need to be praying right now. That's why we need to be praying in this time, in this pandemic. But here's the problem. A lot of us go, "Well, that sounds good. All of that sounds like really good advice, and I love that." But now think about this with me just for a second. We still feel this frustration. It's like, "Well, I hear you. I understand. I can talk to God anytime, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to get through to God. Sometimes I pray and it feels like my prayers aren't getting above the ceiling. I don't know how to do that. How do I do that?" Well, I heard another story about a minister who every Sunday would tell a children's story right up at the front, and he would invite all the kids to come down. And so one Sunday he decided he was going to do his story on prayer. So he brought a telephone. Well, half of those kids didn't even know what a telephone was, right? So he brought this telephone in and he set it down. He said, "Boys and girls, do you know what this is?" And some of them went, "I don't know what that is. I've never seen one of those before." So, "Well, this is a telephone. This is the way it used to work for us. You would dial the number and you would speak directly, and the person on the other end of the line would hear you talking." And he said, "I want to talk to you kids about prayer." Now, kids, you know how people kind of get on a phone, right? And they talk to somebody on the other end and you can't see them. Well, that's kind of what it's like with God. When you get on that phone line and you begin to pray and talk to God, he's on the other end of that line, even if you can't see him. And about that time, a little boy popped up and he said, "Well, what's his number?" Right? And when I read that story, I thought, you know, that's great, because that's how we feel a lot of time. What's God's number? How do I get hold of him? I mean, I'm going through some things in my life right now personally, right? And it's like, "God, how do I make a direct line to you? How do I get in touch with you? How am I able to have this direct line? How am I able to kind of communicate with you in prayer? How does that happen? Do I really have a hotline to God all the time?" Or maybe you feel like this cartoon character, Ziggy. Do y'all like Ziggy? I love Ziggy. It shows him, look at this cartoon, it shows him looking up at the sky, and it's a dark sky, and there's just one cloud up in the corner there, and he's staring up at that cloud. Three frames go by, and finally he shouts up at the cloud, "Have I been put on hold for the rest of my life?" Right? And I thought, that's how we feel like in prayer sometimes. "God, have I just been put on hold for the rest of my life? Are you hearing me? Do you hear my prayers? Because I'm crying out to you, and yet, God, are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm crying to you? And sometimes we feel like that, don't we? So prayer sounds good. I recognize it's powerful. But brother, buddy, tell me, how may I have this hotline to God? How is it that I can be certain that every time God is hearing me, that I'm speaking to him? Well, let's look at Jesus' instruction here, because he gives us some interesting pieces of instruction here at how we may know that we're connecting with him every time, how we may know that we have this hotline to God and that he's hearing us. So jot these things down. You ready? Here's Jesus' instruction to us on how we can have this direct line to God, how we can know that he will hear us, how we may touch the heart of him every time we pray. Here's the first thing, bit of instruction here. First thing he says is this: when you pray, as you pray, pray secretly. Just write it down. He said, well, what does that mean exactly? We noticed what he says. Look at verses 5 and 6. Here's what he says in Scripture. Listen to it. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So our prayer should not be hypocritical. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, a lot of people read that and they go, what exactly does that mean? I mean, we kind of throw platitudes at that statement. We say, okay, so that means I need to have a prayer closet. I need to have a place where I can get alone with God. It means all of those things. But we really go, well, how does that really apply to me? How does that help me in my connection to him? How is that kind of assured, this direct line to God? What does that mean? Well, let's think about this just for a second, because there's a couple of powerful things that Jesus is already telling us here. Let me point this out to you again, once again. Notice in this passage that Jesus takes it for granted that his people will pray. Just notice that. And you go, well, where are you getting that? Well, I pointed it out when we first began in verse 5. It says this, and when you pray. But notice he says that three times. He's going to say it again in verse 6. But when you pray. And then look at verse 7. He's going to say it a third time. And when you pray. I want you to understand, Christian, listen to me. God expects your prayer to be coming. He's waiting on the other end of the line for you to come. Scripture tells us, call to me and I will answer you, right? So the assumption here is that Christians pray. Christians will pray. You'll be calling on him. And Jesus even kind of states it specifically in this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice this. And I think this is so important for you and I to understand, Christian. The issue with the Lord is not whether you will pray, but that you will pray and what that prayer will look like for you. So listen, if you're a believer sitting here, you're hearing this, and you're going, well, my prayer life isn't what it ought to be. Why not? God's waiting on the other end of a direct line for you, and he's expecting your prayer at any moment. You and I ought to be praying. We ought to be interceding. We ought to be coming into his presence. I mean, if you think about this, what is prayer but communion with God, communication with him? It's one of the most personal things that you can do. And if you're in relationship with him, you can't be in a relationship with someone you never talk to, right? And if you're going to be in relationship with him, what should be happening? There ought to be a conversation. And let me just say this. It shouldn't be doing all the talking, right? It's a two-way conversation. Prayer's communication with God. So that ought to be happening. But now you need to understand what Jesus is talking about here and what he's saying, because look what he says, because he kind of states that in verse 6, and then in verse 5, he says this, but when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the street corners and on the corners of the street to be seen by men. So he's kind of telling us what's going on there. The Pharisees wanted to pray so they could be seen as being pious or super spiritual, are more spiritual than other people, right? That's the idea there. And he kind of points that out. But you got to understand this. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you need to understand that their prayers had to be beyond that, bigger than that. So notice what he says there. These Pharisees, they love to pray in two places, the synagogue, right? And on the street corner. Here's what happens, okay, in Jerusalem, in biblical times. So every day the trumpets would sound and everyone was to stop what they were doing and to turn and face the temple and begin to pray. Well, guess where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that day, they would find themselves in the most populated places so that they could pray loud and be heard and be considered more religious, more spiritual than everyone else. And so they were praying to be seen by men. And that's not enough. That's not a genuine heartfelt prayer. And that's why there's this comparison between those who pray outwardly to be seen by others and those who pray from the heart secretly to be seen by Him. There's a contrast there. I want you to understand that Jesus here is not condemning public prayer. That's not what He's talking about. Rather, He's condemning the heart that isn't praying from the right motive and for the right purpose. Get this. Your prayers should make much of Jesus and never much of you, the prayer. That's the way it ought to be. When you pray, your prayers ought to point to God, focus on God. It ought to make much of Him, and it should never make much of the prayer. But we ought to pray from a humble heart. There's a story about a young lawyer who had just opened up a brand new law office, and he was seated behind a shiny new desk, eagerly waiting for his first client. And soon he heard footsteps in the hall, and he heard a hand on the doorknob. And so, wanting to look important in this brand new lawyer job that he had, he wanted to look busy. So as the man opened the door and walked in, he picked up the phone and pretended like someone was on the phone and started having an important conversation with essentially no one on the other end of the phone. And he said, well, I'll have to get with my secretary about that, and I have a pretty busy schedule, so they'll have to schedule a time for you to come in, and I'm just kind of hoping that you'll be able to come in, and maybe I can take your case. And the whole time he's welcoming the visitor to come in the office. He puts the receiver back on the hook and looks back across the way at this visitor that's just walked in, and he said, now, sir, what can I do to help you? And the man said, well, I'm from the phone company. I came to hook up your phone. So Jesus said there's a lot of public praying, right? But it's empty praying, right? When it's praying to be seen by men, it's empty praying. So how may I have a heart of prayer? Well, you got to pray from a secret place. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, private place. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let me give you a couple of ideas here about what I think Jesus is talking about. Some reasons why Jesus tells us to pray in the secret place. What is the secret place? The secret place is from a place of depth in your heart, in your life. But here's the three reasons. Think of this. First of all, in that secret place, there is intimacy. The secret place is a place of intimacy. You see, this is what I love. And think about this, Christian. This is something that overwhelms me about prayer, if you think about it. Think about a God who created everything that exists out of nothing by mere spoken word. A God that holds it all together, right? I would say that's a busy God, right? That's a God, when we look at our world today, you got to go, boy, God's got a lot on His plate, doesn't He? I mean, we see our world bouncing out of control and crazy things happening, and yet in here we're constantly affirming He's still on His throne, He's still in control. That's a busy God, but He's never too busy for you, right? Why? Because He cares about you intimately, and He wants for you to have an intimate relationship with Him. Think about this. Communication with the one that you love is intimate. Here's what I mean by that. You can tell them anything, right? Because they love you and you feel secure in that love, right? You can tell them anything and they're never going to stop loving you. There's intimacy in that secret place. So why should we pray in secret? Because here's the truth of the matter. Listen, we are constantly putting on pretense in this world. We never let anybody see the depths of our heart. We never let anybody into the secret places where we have thoughts we ought not to have. When we have attitudes that we ought not to have, where we deal at the deepest level with things, but there's no one we want to let into that place, but there's someone we should let into that place, right? Who is that? Him. Prayer in the secret place speaks of intimacy. Second, it speaks of honesty, right? Prayer in that secret place speaks of honesty. Aren't you glad that there's someone you can go to and you can just get honest? And you say, well, I don't know if God would really want me to get honest. I can tell you 100% He does. He wants you just to get honest with Him. He doesn't want religious pretense. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to hide behind who we're not, right? He wants us just to get honest. And in that secret place, listen, we can let our hair down, so to speak. We can just be honest with God. We can pour out our complaint to Him. I don't know how many of you in this time have really felt like you needed to vent. Have you felt like you needed to vent some things? Well, I got a good place for you to go, to the prayer closet. You can vent to God. God loves you. He has an intimate relationship with you if you are His, and you can just get honest. Not only can you get honest about what's on your heart, but you can tell Him where you've messed up and dropped the ball. You can be honest with Him about your sins and your failings and your fallings. And you know what? He loves you. Secret place is a place you can get honest. And here it is. A secret place is a place free of distraction. It's distraction free. There's not all these things that kind of pull our eyes off of Him. One of the things I constantly am praying for as we worship on Sundays is that we would be able, just for this little bit of time, for us to get our eyes off of all the stuff that's going on around us that are distractions, and we could just focus on Him and hear. And here's the truth of the matter. Most of the time we struggle in prayer because of distractions in our life. Most of the times we don't hear Him, and we can't really communicate with Him. We can't hear Him speak, and we can't express to Him how we feel because our minds are running 100 miles an hour on everything but Him. But in that secret place, that's a place where you and I can find intimacy with the Father, where we can get honest, and where the distractions can fall away and our focus is solely on Him. In the African bush, missionaries tell that in most of the little villages there, behind every house, there will be a track that leads out into the woods. The missionaries became very curious about this and said, "What are those tracks about?" And they call those the prayer tracks. Because the houses are so close together, there's no privacy inside of each one of those huts. And so in order for them to have private time with God, they walk out behind their houses into the brush and they have prayer there. And so there will be tracks behind the houses, prayer tracks, that lead to where they pray. It is said that in the African bush, in these areas where these missionaries are, where Christians are prevalent in some of those areas, that when a track begins to grow over, a Christian neighbor will come and say, "How's your prayer life?" They'll know because the track has become weedy. Now, when I read that story this week, I thought, wow. Have the prayer tracks of my life become weedy? I'm not as intimate with the Father as I should be. I haven't been alone with Him in prayer. I've been too distracted by the things around me to even lift to Him the cares and the concerns that weigh me down in my own life. You and I need to have a prayer track worn from times that we've been in His presence. You see, pray, and when you pray, pray secretly between you and the Father. Leonard Ravenhill, great prayer champion and revivalist, says this: "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. The pulpit can be a shop window to display one's talents. The prayer closet allows no showing off." I like that, don't you? I mean, we need to spend time in prayer. Let's say this again. Our prayer should make much of Jesus, God, the one who answers prayer, and never much of the prayer. So when you pray, pray in secret. Here's number two. You ready? When you pray, pray sincerely. Pray from the heart. Some of us wonder from time to time why our prayers don't get above the ceiling. Maybe it has to do with the sincerity of our prayers, the genuineness, the fervency of our prayers. We are to pray with a fervent heart. Now, Jesus goes a step further here in talking to us about what our prayer life ought to look like. Look at verse 7. So He said, when you pray, go into your prayer closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. That's intimate. That's honest. It's free of distractions. In verse 7, He says this: and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Can I just tell you that when you're praying from a heart level, from a deep heart level, sometimes words don't come. Have you noticed that? Sometimes when you're praying, words don't come. What you're feeling, what you're experiencing, the lament that we talked about earlier over the times that we're in, sometimes all you can do is sit before the Lord and cry. Sometimes all you can do is say to God, "God, I don't know what to say." So God is not impressed by your many words when you pray. I mean, He's more impressed by the sincerity of heart. More impressed by the kind of heart that comes from. He's talking here about rote praying and how we just kind of go through the motions of prayer. I think we do the same thing with Bible study. And if we're not careful as Christians, this is what we do, okay? We spend a few moments in prayer every morning, and we spend about 10 minutes reading the Bible, and then we close it up, put it on the shelf, and put the stars by our name that we did it for today. Check it off our list, right? And our prayer life and our Bible study time with God should never just be kind of a rote practice that we do every day, because that's how we communicate with God. Paul says to us, we are to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? We are constantly to be living in relationship with God, where we're moving in and out of conversation with Him throughout the day. That's that kind of prayer. And it ought to be from a heart of prayer, from a sincerity of heart. It ought to come to us. That ought to be that way that it happens. A little girl had spent the night with her grandmother, and the next morning as they were at breakfast, the grandmother said to her little granddaughter, she said, "Honey, did you say your prayers last night before you went to sleep?" And the little girl said, "No, Granny, I didn't." She said, "Why not?" And she said, "Well, I got on my knees to pray, but then I got to thinking that God is probably tired of hearing the same old prayer every night, so I just crawled back in bed and told him the story of Little Red Riding Hood." When I read that story, I thought, that's great. And then God began to prick my heart. Sometimes our prayers aren't worth much more good than us just telling them a story about Little Red Riding Hood. You and I need to be praying from a heart that is real and fervent and deep. John Bunyan said this. He said, "When you pray, it would be better to let your heart be without words than to let your words be without heart." That's powerful. When you pray, it would be better for you to let your heart be without words than to let your words be without heart. How many of us have prayed words without heart to Him? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he had a simple way of saying it when he talked about prayer. He would say, "The prayer of the heart is the heart of prayer." You see, if you can't pray from the depth of your heart, listen, maybe that needs to be a confession that we pour out to Him. You and I are to pray that way. And you might say, well, why? Why is that so important? Well, if you think about it, all through Scripture, we're reminded of the kind of heart that God hears. Think about this. In Scripture, we're told that God hears the cries of the oppressed. That's coming from their heart. God hears the cries of the downhearted, the brokenhearted, the grieving, the burdened. Why? Because that's when we get heart level with our prayers. Why is it that our prayer life gets the most serious when we're going through the most trouble? Because that's when our prayers get real, right? Because they begin to come from our heart. And so James, the half-brother of Jesus, would say in James 5:16, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Some translations say it like this: "The effective prayer of a righteous man is powerful." Powerful. You want to pray powerful prayers, it has to come from the heart. It has to transcend words. David Mathis, who writes for Desiring God, great little website if you want to go look at Desiring God, but he writes a lot for them, and I read a statement from him this week that really touched me. He said this: "You and I as Christians," he says, "we are free to abandon our empty evangelical stock phrases and free from needing many words, extending our requests to a certain length to impress. Because in Christ, we already are known, loved, cherished, and secure. We are not unknown citizens approaching a distant dignitary, but we are children drawing near to our Father." You see, He doesn't need all of our much words. He doesn't need our stock phrases that we pray with. He already loves us. He's already given Himself for us. We're drawing near a Father as His children. That's us. That's how it ought to be. Here's one more that I want you to see before we run out of time this morning. But I want you to think about this. Jesus, when you pray, pray in secret, right? When you pray, pray in sincerity. Pray sincerely. And third, as you pray, pray systematically. Pray. I love in this model prayer that we're given by Jesus, which we often quote and we read it, we know it, but we kind of have failed to really understand why He gave that to His disciples. Specifically asked Him, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." And this flowed out of that kind of a heart where He's instructing His followers at how to pray. That's why I prefer to call this the model prayer. It's not so much a prayer that we ought to be praying, but a pattern of how we ought to pray, if you think about it. And He lays out here for us what our prayers before God ought to look like. And I might just call this is how to pray powerfully, according to Jesus. This is how we're to do it. Some simple things that you ought to do in real prayer according to the model prayer. This is how we ought to pray. If you think about it, here's kind of what it looks like. And kind of look at your Bible there, and it kind of starts in verse 9 and kind of works on down through verse 13. You see this model prayer. And think about this. When you pray and you're going to pray to him, always start with praise. Start with praise. You know it. Look at the model prayer there and what he says in verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. So pray secretly, pray sincerely, and then now I'm going to tell you specifically how to pray. This is how to pray. In this manner, pray. In this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, immediately we learn that the secret to real prayer is prayer not to the Father or a Father, but a prayer to our Father. We are coming to him as our Father. He's your Father. It's personal. You see that? So it's a child coming to a father. As you believe in God, you cannot pray to a God if you do not know that God. And you and I are to kind of seek him and come to him as a father. And as we do, we are to hallow his name. You know what that means? We're to make it holy. We're to exalt his name. As you come to him, you are to worship him and adore him. I think that right now, as we're praying this time, we need to acknowledge as we come before God, God, there's a lot of things going on in our world that overwhelm us, but they don't overwhelm you because you are all powerful, all knowing, and there's nothing in this world that we're facing right now that you can't totally take care of right now if you choose to do so. And God, we acknowledge your awesome power. We acknowledge your holiness. We acknowledge your might. That's the way to begin. So you start with praise. And then number two, look what he says here. Then you share your petition. So look at your Bible there. Here's what he says. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then look at verse 11. Here it is. This is where you're going to share your petition. Give us this day our daily bread. God, we come to you and we look to you to provide for what we need in this time. You can provide for us. Here's one of the things I want you to understand, Christian. Listen, as we're going through some tough times, God knows the needs of your heart and your life. And he is more than eager as your father and you're his child to do what? Provide for you what you need in this time. The truth of the matter is, this is what I think so often happens to us as believers. God offers it, and we don't take it. God extends it to us. I'm here. I'm ready. I want to meet the needs of your life. But we're constantly running around trying to fix our own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Right? You get it? I mean, God wants to give us. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour out into our life. He wants for us to share our petition with him and watch what he does, to stand back. He's ready to extend it to us. But so much of the time, listen, we're constantly trying to meet our own needs rather than trusting a father who has everything we need at his disposal all the time. That's the kind of God that we serve. James, half-brother of Jesus again, in James 4:3 says this, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. It's like we're always trying to figure it all out for God when God's the one who's in control. So there we go. You get the picture there of what we're supposed to do. We start with praise. Then we share our petition. And then the next thing we do is we seek God's pardon. Look at verse 12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We seek his forgiveness. One of the things that I said we ought to be praying about right now as we're praying for this pandemic, as we're specific, we need to be confessing our sins and the sins of our society, right? We need to be doing that. We need to be praying those prayers of confession in our life. Listen, here's the truth. You and I need to come to him and we need to seek his cleansing, his forgiveness. You need to get forgiveness yourself and you need to extend it, right? And that should be a part of our seeking the face of God. Here's why. Now get this. One of the reasons he tells us that we ought to seek God's pardon is because one of the things that hinders our prayers more than anything else is unconfessed sin in our life. It causes our prayers not to get above the ceiling. And so one of the things when we come to him, if we're seeking power in prayer, we ought to seek his pardon. And then fourth, secure God's power. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Seek his power. That's what he wants to do to us. You know, and I close with this. And when I say close, I mean, you know, it's going to take me a minute, right? So bear with me. You got this, right? Out there where Nancy and I live, and sometimes it's better than other times, but one of the problems we have is we have bad cell reception out there. And sometimes our phones drop calls, or right in the middle of them, you know, we'll just drop the call, or the call won't come through at all. And I think both of us kind of always find ourselves running out on the back porch, right? Maybe standing on one leg with the phone up in the air or something, trying to get good reception. And you can hear us out there usually going, I think I'm losing you. I think I'm losing you. I don't know what's happened. You may have to call me back. If I drop this call, I'll call you. You know, that's a constant conversation that's going on because of poor reception. We can't hear it. Bad connection, right? And constantly we're having to do that. And I think sometimes in our Christian life, our service with God from our end is like that. There's a problem, right? And the problem's not with Him being able to hear us, right? The problem's with us and our connection with Him. I read this week about the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's interesting when you think about this. I cannot say our Father if I'm not in fellowship with other Christians. I cannot say Father if I do not demonstrate this relationship in my daily life. I cannot say in heaven if I'm so occupied with earth, I never think about heaven. I cannot say, hallowed be your name, if I do not by holy living exalt His name. I cannot say, your kingdom come, if I'm not doing all in my power to hasten its coming. I cannot say, your will be done, if I'm not obedient to the will of God in my life. I cannot say, on earth as it is in heaven, if I'm not prepared to give my life to Him on earth as well as in heaven. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread, if I'm not trusting Him for my every need. I cannot say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, if I harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, do not lead us into temptation, if I deliberately place myself in the position to be tempted. I cannot say, deliver us from the evil one, if I am not prepared to fight evil in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer. Wow. You and I want to claim the prayer, but are willing to have that kind of connection with Him. And the truth of the matter is Jesus gives us instruction on how to pray. It's really quite simple. It's this. Pray. Just pray. It's expected. Pray in secret. Pray sincerely. Pray according to the system. Whatever it is, just pray. Just get into my presence. There have been many times in my life as I've pastored where things have happened and circumstances have kind of bounced out of control, and I thought, God, I don't know what to do. And I've made prayer a last resort. And one of the things God has impressed in my heart, that the first resort for my place ought to always be to rush into the prayer closet. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's a place that you go to prayer, or maybe it has more to do with kind of a posture that you have before Him in prayer, or maybe it has more to do just with the spirit or an attitude that you have in prayer. But whatever it is, whatever you're going through, whatever we're facing in our culture right now, the place that Christians need to be is in the prayer closet. We need to be there. We need to pray to Him secretly and sincerely and systematically, but the most thing we need to do is pray. We need to seek His face daily. For as we've been saying every week, the great prayer that we hear from 1 Chronicles 7:14 is, if my people who are called by my name will pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Listen, can I just tell you, we can lay out all kinds of requests to pray for COVID and the pandemic. We can. And there's good things we need to be praying. I gave those seven things to you this morning. We can lay out all kinds of things. We need to be praying about the political unrest and the social upheaval that we have in our country right now. We can lay out all those kind of things. But all of those kind of things we talk about doing prayer, all those kind of things we throw platitudes at having prayer and being a people of prayer, we can talk about how important prayer is in the church. But the main thing is to pray. Are we praying? Are we spending time with this God? Are we actually pouring in to the God of the universe who can answer every prayer we have? Because as Scripture tells us, God's invitation to us is always, call to me and I will answer. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to ask Lewis if he would to just come and begin to play our hymn of invitation today. It's just the song we've been singing all morning. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and surely He is. I don't know what God might have said in your heart, in your life today. Maybe God has put His finger on your heart and life and said, listen, this prayer thing needs to be deeper. There needs to be a recommitment in your life to prayer. Oh, I've been waiting for you to show up. I've been waiting on the other end of the line to hear from you. And maybe all over this room this morning, or even on our live stream, there are those who are just saying, you know, I want to recommit my life to a heart of prayer. Maybe there's some here today who, as we've kind of talked about how we can pray for this pandemic or how we can pray for what's going on, maybe you felt a special calling in your life this morning to say, listen, I'm going to covenant to pray. I'm going to commit myself to pray for this time like never before. Maybe that's your call today. I'm going to give myself to praying for this pandemic until God removes it. I'm going to do that. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today and you've never had that kind of close walk with God where prayer was very important to you. And maybe today you can feel Him drawing you in and you want to know Him personally. You want to be able to talk to Him all the time. You want to be able to walk with Him, fellowship with Him, and know that He is yours. Maybe that's you. Right where you sit this morning, just between you and Him, call on His name in prayer. Ask Him to come in. Ask Him to fill you up. Ask Him to speak to your heart. Ask Him to save you. Scripture tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You call on Him. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to begin to sing our hymn of invitation after I've prayed. And we're just going to worship Him. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And the altar is going to be open and our ministers are going to be here at the front. And this is our time just to respond to Him, a God who hears, a God who saves. If you need to come, we invite you to. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. We ask you this morning, God, that you would take this message on prayer and God, you would just impress it upon our hearts. God, we can cry out to you, a direct line to you anytime, day or night, and you hear us. Thank you for that. God, we commit ourselves as a church and as a Christian to begin to pray for our city, pray for our local government, for our state, for our community, for our country, to begin to pray for our church and for our membership, those who are here and those not able to be with us right now. Just begin to intercede. And God, we can look to you, Father, because you will always answer. Thank you for that. I pray you would give those who may need to come this morning the courage to step out in faith and respond to you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you do. It's in your name we ask these things. Amen. Would you stand with us as we worship Him?